that and continue to help each other out on a level that each one of us can. And I think it'll last a lot longer than you think.
Yeah.
All right, Galvin, if I can interrupt news and go to Holland and welcome to the show. This is the great sheriff of Hillsborough County. This is Sheriff Chad Cronister. Sheriff, how are you, sir?
Good morning, everyone. Busy like everyone, you know, everything with the COVID-19 is changing by the minute, keeping us all on our toes.
When do you get any sleep? Because I see you early in the morning, and then you're doing press conferences in the afternoon. I mean, this has got to be really taxing on you physically.
I tell you what, it is, and there was no weekend. You know, it was trying to educate boaters over the weekend about staying 50 feet apart, and then went into investigating this church on Sunday. But you're right, it's been late nights. I did CNN last night at 11:30 at night, and then back up early this morning.
Let's start with the church. Pastor Rodney Howard, we all did the story yesterday. We all talked about it. We all saw how ridiculous it was. At what point were you getting complaints, or did you see the story yourself and say, I got to step in and do something here?
We got a ton of complaints. They started on Friday that we were told he was going to have service. So we did what I thought was an appropriate response. We reached out Friday, met with him, met with his legal staff, met with church leaders, and explained why this is so dangerous. You know, not only putting his parishioners at risk, but the entire community at risk as those parishioners return back to their neighborhoods. That continued through Saturday. Sunday, he had service. We had deputies there. Got to the point where we even met with him, our executive staff, Sunday afternoon. Our chief deputy went out there, our colonel, another major, explaining to him how dangerous this was and how many countless lives he'd be putting at risk. And once again, they just refused repeated pleas and requests to not do something so dangerous. And unfortunately, like I said, shame on them for making us do our job in the end.
Is this one of the case in his situation that you believe that he is really so super religious that he thinks that God or somebody will stop them from getting coronavirus? Or is this just a case of what appears to be a greedy pastor who needs to get his money from his people?
I think it's all the above.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking the last couple of days, same thing. You know, what's the motive here? Why would someone put this many people in danger? And I don't know. I think it's all the above. Maybe it's the notoriety. I don't know exactly what it is. And I keep telling people this has nothing to do with him being a pastor. This has nothing to do with the freedom of religion and the right to worship. This is about someone who defied the order and continued to encourage large groups of people to gather. This would have been no different if he was a gym owner. Owner. This had, you know, it was irrelevant what he did for a living.
Yeah, a concert, anything that you would get together and gather people. And to point out again, it's not just because some people will say, well, fine, let them all get sick. They're all in the same room. Yeah, but then they go back out and they're bringing that out to you, to your schools, to your supermarkets. These are the people that leave there, stop at Publix on the way home, and they're carrying it out if somebody gets infected. And that's why this had to be done. Great, great work there. Yesterday, excuse me, during the show, I saw the Facebook post that you announced that you were looking for leads in the disappearance of Carol Baskin's husband, which now I'm going to guess, and you tell me if you're right. Did you have time to watch this thing and you sit up and go, oh, she killed her husband? I mean that's what I it's so shady enough that I got to look into this.
I tell you what, I watched it. Me, Nikki, and Asher watched it over here. It took 4 or 5 days to watch it here and there, watching it. But I knew then that, hey, listen, this thing's, you know, hey, listen, so many people are at home. They're doing the right thing. They're watching Netflix. This thing's becoming a phenomenon. I'm like, hey, listen, we have to take advantage of this. Let's put this out. You know, you see how convoluted and complex the story is. And his life was the same way. I mean, this entire investigation was exactly the same way. I mean, there were so many people who felt compelled to be loyal, felt their lives would be in danger. So many people's stories changed. Even when homicide detectives went down to Costa Rica, where he had his house and another girlfriend, there were two security guards that worked at the same gate, worked at the same time. And one said, I haven't seen him in 6 months. And the other one said, I saw him a week ago. I mean, just at every turn, it was just another obstacle that detectives faced in trying to solve this case.
We received a call that I was going to tell you about privately, but since you're here, we received a call the Monday after the documentary really hit, from a woman who said that her son-in-law's father was one of the guys in the documentary.
Stepfather.
His stepfather is one of the guys in the documentary. And he often would talk about how easy it was to grind up a guy, and that this guy was an alcoholic, and that he was angry towards him because of the way he abused the people, and he was the guy who killed him. And this kid's talking about it matter-of-factly in front of some people. So we tried to call him yesterday, and I think now that we're talking about it, the kid's afraid to talk to us. But I have to pass that information on to you, because when we told this to Robert Moore, who was the guy who did the original podcast before the Tiger King was made, he was blown away by that information. And he was like, that's a revelation that could actually prove to something, you know, prove some solid evidence there.
Because she said that he had said that they were watching a movie where they ground up a guy in a meat grinder, and the stepfather said it's a lot easier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. Everyone talked about the meat grinders, and we do know that the meat grinders, there were two of them, and they were removed before his death. Now, that doesn't mean that someone couldn't have taken them somewhere else and done this to him some, you know, off location. But the meat grinders that everyone were convinced were at the cat sanctuary, they were gone before his death.
Yeah, well, I like the theory that they moved it to a different location.
Yeah.
Sheriff.
Hey, That's exactly right. But let me tell you something. He was involved in so many different shady business dealings with people down in Costa Rica. And like I said, it's just at every turn, there's another obstacle. You had some person who would swear 100% it was A, and then someone right there say it was something, it was B. I mean, it's just nuts. If anyone who has watched the series, his life was no different. But I always say this, and I'm certainly not saying any individual did this at this point, but what wealthy person do you know that takes off and disappears but leaves his money behind?
Right.
You're exactly right. Here's the other thing is that after it came out, Carol Baskin made some statements where she was like, this is ridiculous. They manipulate. And I know they manipulate things one way or another in a documentary to make you see what they want you to see. But this is how I know. My son Joey is 13, and he started watching it. And he's at, like, episode 5, and he was like, you know, the woman that I brought up the thing, and he goes, the woman that killed her husband. I go, well, we don't know that he killed her. He goes, of course. He goes, of course she did. I go, what do you mean? He goes, oh, she had a diary where she talked about killing him. She changed his will about disappearing. And I was like, when a 13-year-old kid's picking up all the evidence, that's when you know you got a problem.
Well, that's another big thing, too. I mean, how many people have a will that say, hey, in the case of my disappearance, leave all my money to this person?
Right.
And we had someone we interviewed that initially said, yeah, she signed it. It was a proper document. And then she changed her story later on and said the entire document was forged.
I tell you, the whole story is insane. I feel like I have to watch it again now to get all the details. We're talking to Sheriff Chad Chronister. Who has been, I think this is great. We told Mayor Castor the same thing. The fact that the two of you have been so visible in the community, I know it puts me at rest, puts my family at rest. And no, I feel like you guys are constantly really working on this 24 hours a day. I feel like we have leaders, and we got to say thank you for that.
I appreciate that, and that is the case. And I think you're exactly right. You know, hey, we're the ones that are charged with the responsibility of bringing calm to the situation. Whatever information is, get it out there. You know, information brings comfort, regardless of what it is. And as this thing changes by the minute, just put the information out there that people can take it. They just want someone to tell them what's happening.
Do you find that Tampa Bay area is, you know, following the rules and doing for the most part what they can? Like, I know my brother hasn't, him and his family haven't left the house in 2 weeks. My family doesn't leave the house. I just come here to work and run to Publix and stuff. And it seems like a majority of the people in my neighborhood are doing the same thing. Are you feel that way about Tampa Bay in general?
They are. I tell you what, I went out on patrol Friday night before this order went into effect just to see how everyone was doing and go to different businesses, a few that were open. But everyone's been compliant. Everyone's been great. And we know that, hey, listen, we all have to take this individual responsibility to keep ourselves, our loved ones, and our community away from each other, because it's the one thing we know that's working. But I have to tell you what, even some people, like a group of 25 people that were at a park playing basketball, you go and you have you spend a couple moments with them, tell them why it's so dangerous, and they leave. So everyone's been great. I do think the vast majority of our community, and I tell you what, it starts with me by saying thank you. Thank you to our community. There have been so many sacrifices made by so many people that just want an opportunity to return back to this normal life. And we're only going to do that if everyone does their part and stays away from each other.
Yeah, and I have to say, and I'm sure you see a lot of this too, but you know, it's one thing I've been in this community since 1989, and it's one thing that I've said about Tampa Bay is when you could have all the problems you want, but when push comes to shove and when the crap really hits the fan, I've never seen people come out of the woodwork to help their neighbors who they know or don't know as much as the people in Tampa do. And I'm not trying to be all cheesy. My sister-in-law died in a car accident years ago, and the first sign I saw of it was all my neighbors in my brother's area that didn't know him brought him food and brought him, helped him out. People would stop by and just see if he needed anything.
Right.
And during hurricanes, people that go out and volunteer in areas that have been hurt when they don't even know any of those people. That's what this area does. And I think that that is really going to help keep these businesses in shape so that we don't want to come back in such a hole financially when this passes that we can't get out of it. And I think that people helping people out has really been phenomenal.
I agree. I see it all the time, whether it's a young person that doesn't work for Publix but helps an elderly person load their groceries up, the people helping others with funeral costs during this time. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I tell you what, we're going to look back in history and see that we came out stronger than ever as Americans through this pandemic. But how we want to be defined is not let the virus define us, but how you're exactly right. How we unified, how we united to come together to help one another during the pandemic.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, like I said, you and the mayor have been great leaders for that, and we'll continue to do so. I want to remind you that we reach an awful lot of people in the morning here. We're on, and we will continue to stay on live as long as they let us. And anytime you need to come on the air to get a message out, or if you want to text me and say, hey, tell these idiots to stay out of the basketball court or any of those things, please feel free to do so.
Well, I'll do it. I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. You guys stay healthy, stay safe.
Hey, real quick, one more thing. If I have a big alligator in my backyard, can I shoot it? I'm just saying, like, I don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want, if they arrest me, I don't want you to look at me and go, oh, why did you do that, idiot? I just want you to be like, yeah, if you feel like it's dangerous, go ahead, shoot it.
Alligators are protected. They're the one animal that's protected. You can't shoot them. You know, next you're going to ask me if you can shoot a turtle. The answer is going to be
no. I own a turtle. I have a giant. I own a turtle.
That's why I brought that up.
No. Chad.